Whiteside throw, touchdown! Kansas City, a 3-yard touchdown pass in overtime. Kansas City wins the game.
Welcome into The Drive with Carrington Harrison.
Back-to-back best sports talk host as voted on in the Pitch magazine.
Live from the Band Studios, here's CDOT.
Let's do this. Another day, another dollar, another edition of The Drive. You are listening to The Drive on 96.5 The Fan, 96.5thefan.com, and the Odyssey app. We have so much to get into in today's show. Coming up in about an hour and a half, we will be joined by the quarterback of the Kansas City Chiefs. Patrick Mahomes will be on the show today. Matt Verderam of Sports Illustrated will also be on the show. We'll continue our wide receiver conversation because a new name has been thrown into the hat. We'll also talk a little bit of college football. So let me update you guys on what we have planned for the week. Lance Leipold is going to be on the show this week. Chris Kleiman is also going to be on the show this week. We tried to get Eli Drinkwitz on the show, but they've got a game this weekend, so there's no possible way that he could just make 10 to 12 minutes to come on to talk about his football team coming off an impressive win in homecoming. So he told us, and that's what you told me, Rob, he will be on the show next week after the Alabama game. But they are game prepping so hard and so heavy, he cannot spare any time to come on the show this week, even though the other two coaches, they also play this weekend and they are coming on the show. Eli Drinkwitz, far too busy to talk to the Kansas City. All right. I had to get that out of there. You know how this Eli Drinkwitz is very difficult for really no reason at all. Patrick Mahomes will be on the show coming up in about 90 minutes or so. Matt Verderam will be on the show. We'll talk about Cooper Kupp here coming up in a bit. But Rob, take it away.
Pizza time on The Drive. Carrington, dial me up right now. Caller number 6, 913-586-7965. Caller number 6 wins a pizza from our friends over at Pizza Tasio. Pizza Tasio is Kansas City's best New York-style pizza, and they have taken over the town. They lovingly use 100% whole milk mozzarella, all organic tomato sauce with locally grown fresh ingredients, all made by KC guys who both know and love pizza. They also have a killer selection of crafts and local beers, plus unique wines. So whether you're hungry enough for a whole pie or just want a slice or two, be sure to visit them now at pizzatasio.com. That's pizza, T-A-S-C-I-O.com.
All right, I need you guys to do me a couple of favors. Number one, I need you listening to The Drive each day at 2 o'clock. Number two, I need you to tell one friend. I don't need you to tell two friends that if you are excited about the return of the NBA and you also want some of the best pizza in Kansas City, there's only one place to celebrate that, and that is with us right here on The Drive on 96.5 The Fan. All right, this is how I would like to start today's show. Some of you will get this analogy, and let me get my first analogy out of the way early. Do you guys remember playing fighting video games back in the arcade? Maybe you played a little Mortal Kombat back in your day. Maybe you played some Street Fighter back in the day. And if you remember, you would put a quarter into the machine and you would hit the start button. And then on the screen, it would say a new challenger emerges. That means it's your time to play. You pick your character and you go about your business and hopefully you win that match. Well, it seems like every day there is a new challenger and a new name that has been thrown into the Chiefs will trade for fill in the blank. Adam Schefter kicked things off on Monday. He threw a couple of names in the ring.
I think that they're going to be checking around and asking about wide receivers. But here's the thing, like, we could bring up some of these other wide receivers, but they like to get people who know that system, generally speaking, who Mahomes is comfortable working with. And we're seeing Josh Allen getting to know Amari Cooper right now. We know Aaron knows Devontae Adams. So everybody's different. I think in a perfect world, it's somebody like a DeMarcus Robinson that knows the system and knows the quarterback that would fit there that could provide some help. They still could use a little bit of help at the wide receiver position. It wouldn't be a surprise if they made a move. I don't know that it's going to be some big splashy move. They'll look into everything, of course. But I think it's more likely that it'll be a less heralded, more inexpensive, less draft capital player.
So that was Adam Schefter on Monday on the Pat McAfee show. Now, Diana Rossini has thrown her hat into the ring. She has put her quarters into the machine. She has pressed the start button, and a new challenger emerges. Now, this is not me questioning Diana Rossini's reporting. She has become one of the top five reporters in the National Football League. I believe her sources are airtight. but this report makes very little sense to me. Here is Diana Rossini. She was on the Dan Le Batard show. She throws Cooper Kupp's name into the ring.
Cooper Kupp, Kansas City Chiefs. Is there a chance?
If the Rams are willing to take on the salary, I heard that they're willing to do. So they are definitely open to trading Cooper Kupp. So we'll see if they'll be able to get a deal done. I just don't think Kansas City has even enough money, even if the Rams were to take on some of that salary. That's been the problem and the reason why they haven't been able to go after a Davante Adams, an Amari Cooper, like we've seen other teams be aggressive with.
All right. A couple of different things. Number one, the Chiefs had enough cap space to go get Amari Cooper. Amari Cooper's cap hit was less than $1 million. The Chiefs have almost $5 million in cap space. They had enough to go get Amari Cooper. They didn't want Amari Cooper, and that is well within their right. Now, the Cooper Kupp conversation is pretty interesting. So Cooper Kupp is owed $9.1 million this season, guaranteed. Next year, he is owed $20 million, and 5% of that is guaranteed. And he has a non-guarantee amount of $19.85 million in 2026. That is probably money that he will never see. Now, Cooper Kupp used to be a really good player. In 2021, Cooper Kupp had one of the best seasons that we have ever seen a wide receiver have. 145 catches, almost 2,000 yards, 16 touchdowns, and he won Super Bowl MVP. Since then, we have seen a very different Cooper Kupp. In 2022, so the year after the Super Bowl, he played in 9 games, had 75 catches for 800 yards. In 2023, so last season, played in 12 games, 59 catches, less than 750 yards. This season, he has played in 2 games. It is week 8 of the NFL season. He has 18 catches for 147 yards, and he has scored 1 touchdown. He scored 16 touchdowns in 2021. He has 12 touchdowns since the Super Bowl season. You want to know what I am certain the Chiefs will not do? I am 100% certain that the Chiefs are not trading a second-round pick for a 31-year-old wide receiver who is broken down. I don't care what his cap hit situation looks like and how much money that the Los Angeles Rams are willing to eat for Cooper Kupp, because they're going to have to eat that money regardless of what team goes out and makes that move for Cooper Kupp. There are probably some teams that Cooper Kupp makes some sense for, but they're going to have to drastically reduce that asking price if they are trying to trade Cooper Kupp. You know what he's not worth anymore? A second round pick. Cooper Kupp is worth a fifth or a sixth round pick. You could have got a second round pick a couple of years ago for Cooper Kupp. I am not giving you a second round pick for a guy who cannot stay on the field. I don't mean this to sound harsh. I don't mean this to sound callous, but you know what the Chiefs right now have an abundance of? Hurt wide receivers. You can go out back and take your pick. Go to the showroom floor. They got them in all shapes and sizes right now, hurt receivers. They got Rashee Rice, who tore his ACL. They got Juju Smith-Schuster, who hamstring fell apart like it was an iPhone cord. They've got Hollywood Brown, whose shoulder, we don't even know what's wrong with it. They started using words I've never heard of before to describe the shoulder injury that he has. You know what they don't need? They don't need your hurt wide receiver. They got a hurt wide receiver at home. So I understand that Cooper Kupp's name is being thrown out there, and I am not surprised that the Los Angeles Rams are shopping Cooper Kupp. You signed him to an extension. That extension has gone terribly wrong for you. But Brett Veach has a checklist, and Cooper Kupp does not check any of those boxes. He is 31 years old. He is hurt all the time. He is expensive, and you are asking way too much for him. You are asking way above the Kelly Blue Book value for what I think Cooper Kupp is worth. So I am happy that another name is thrown out there, and it continues to reinforce that the Chiefs are going to make a move at some point between now and 2 weeks from now. We don't know exactly who they are going to get, but too many NFL people are talking about this and throwing different names into the conversation that the Chiefs are not walking away from the table empty-handed. Now, how serious is that move going to be? How big of a swing are they going to make at the position? I believe they're going to take a swing. I just don't think they're taking one on Cooper Kupp. And I rather them go get DeMarcus Robinson and Darius Slayton if the option is that or Cooper Kupp. Even though Cooper Kupp has the higher ceiling and he is a Super Bowl MVP and he's proven when healthy that he's one of the best receivers in the league, I don't think he's that guy anymore. He's 31 years old. He had all that success when he was 28 years old. He has had nothing but injuries ever since. No thank you on Cooper Kupp. Coming up on the other side, we were talking about this earlier today with Steven Spector, and he threw out a couple of names himself. He wants to throw a couple of wide receiver names into the ring, and I think you guys are going to be excited about the trade that he has proposed. We're talking wide receiver here. Keep it locked in on 96.5 The Fan.
The Drive with Carrington Harrison on your new home for Chiefs football. 96.5 The Fan, brought to you by DM Injury Law. Have you or a loved one been in a car wreck? Contact DM Injury Law today and get the money you deserve. Car wreck? Remember, Mike's got this.
Text line 913-586-7965. CDOT, Cooper Kupp is clearly the best available option. It's not close. Go all in for the three-peat and do it. I don't think the Cooper Kupp is the best available option. I think the Cooper Kupp is the biggest name that they could possibly acquire. But if you were telling me right now that they had two choices, if it is trade a second round pick to go get Cooper Kupp or a third round pick to go get Deontay Johnson, I would trade for Deontay Johnson twice on Sundays. I do not have any interest in acquiring Cooper Kupp at a second round pick who is 31 years old and his body has fallen apart in each of the last three seasons. I don't have any interest in acquiring that player. He's not even the number one player I would go acquire on the Rams if they're in the selling mode. I'd rather have Tutu Atwell if you were telling me that the Rams think they are out of it and are becoming sellers. I don't think Cooper Kupp has a lot of value at what they want to trade him for and what his contract is and what I think the Chiefs need. The Chiefs need reliable and dependable, and I don't know how you can be reliable and dependable when you are currently injured and you haven't played. You haven't had a healthy season in the last 3 years. I don't know how you can be any of the things that I think the Chiefs need. I think they already have a lot of hurt wide receivers. Cooper Kupp is just, he's not on my list. You know how they have like draft boards and some players are just, they're off your draft board for whatever reason, questionable character, they're not strong enough, they're not fast enough, they didn't have a good interview, they tested poorly under Wunderlich. Whatever the reason may be that you have kept a player off your board, that's how Cooper Kupp is for me. He is not on my board of players that I want the Chiefs to acquire. So we were talking about this earlier with our boss, Steven Spector. And you know what? Steven Spector had a couple of opinions, and I'm excited to play this for you. So he throws a couple of names into the ring about who the Chiefs could potentially acquire at wide receiver.
All right, guys, I know one of the main conversations surrounding the Chiefs is what to do with the wide receiver position. And a lot of the noise has been surrounded by names like Darius Slayton or Deontay Johnson, even Cooper Kupp today. But I'm ready to take a swing that's a little bit bigger than that. I think it's really important inside that Chiefs organization that they make history this year and get the three-peat, right? Clark's dad invented the NFL, or the modern NFL as we know it. This is Clark's chance to, you know, create a lasting legacy on his own, the first NFL team to three-peat as Super Bowl champions. But there's also life after this season, and there's also life after Travis Kelce. That's why I'm okay trading a first-round pick and maybe a third-round pick for guys like Garrett Wilson or Chris Olave from teams that are not only rebuilding, but are not going to make the NFL playoffs this year in the Jets and the Saints. You cannot continue to surround Patrick Mahomes with bottom-tier weapons. And I get it. They got unlucky this year. Hollywood Brown goes down. Rashee Rice goes down. Pacheco goes down. But you're always going to need a number one and a number two with Patrick Mahomes. Okay? Rashee Rice is going to be coming off an injury. He's also going to be suspended for part of next season. There is life after Travis Kelce, which is coming closer to the end than the beginning. Going out and getting a bona fide number one wide receiver for a first-round draft pick is okay. It's okay to give up assets for known commodities. Think about who the Chiefs had options at number 31 or number 32 the last year, 2 years in the draft. You're telling me you'd rather have that lottery ticket than a known commodity and a number one wide receiver to pair with Patrick Mahomes? I think you're wrong. And I understand that both guys are in year three and you're going to have to pay them in the next 18 to 24 months. And maybe that's getting rid of Trey Smith or George Karlaftis. But you know what? I get a number one wide receiver with Patrick Mahomes, who's 24 years old. Sign me up every day of the week for a first and third round pick for not only Garrett Wilson, but Chris Olave. Either one works for me. I'm totally fine with taking a swing on either guy.
I'm curious what you guys think about this. 913-586-7965. We got a little bit of time here. Patrick Mahomes will be on the show coming up in an hour. We can take some phone calls on this if you want to chime in. I do think this is very, very interesting. Now, I'm not sure if either one of these wide receivers are available, but it is a fun exercise. Now, Rob, I think I know where you stand on this, but I don't want to speak for you. Now, I want to be clear about what trading for Garrett Wilson or what trading for Chris Olave means. Are you prepared to make one of them one of the 10 highest paid wide receivers in the National Football League? Because to me, that's what that trade signifies. If you are willing to trade for Garrett Wilson and give up a first and a third round pick, that means you're willing to pay him like Amon-Ra St. Brown. You're willing to pay him like Brandon Ayuk. Brandon Ayuk got 4 years, $30 million. Amon-Ra St. Brown got 4 years, $120 million. DJ Moore got 4 years, $110 million. So I want to be clear, and it sounds like Spector is willing to pay the cost. This is something that we need. We need this not just for this season. We need this for 2025 and beyond. You pair that receiver, whichever one you would get Olave, Garrett Wilson in this scenario. You pair that player with Rashee Rice. You pair that player with Xavier Worthy. And you've got one of the top wide receiver rooms in the National Football League. It all sounds fine and dandy. Are you prepared to make Brandon Ayuk the second highest paid player on the team? Are you prepared to make Chris Olave one of the five highest paid wide receivers in the National Football League? Because if you give up those level of assets to go acquire either one of those players and they have the kind of production that we would imagine they would have in this system, in this scheme, and getting the amount of usage that they are going to get, it is not going to be cheap to re-sign any one of those players.
I'm out on Olave and Garrett Wilson. I'm out on giving up a first-round pick for basically anyone. Like, I think Spec's theory is not bad, but the problem is Garrett Wilson or Chris Olave's contracts can come up the same year as Trent McDuffie and George Karlaftis. And we know how the Chiefs operate. They're not re-signing all three. So you basically got to ask yourself, am I willing to give up a first-round pick, a third-round pick, and basically turn down an extension on George Karlaftis and or Trent McDuffie? That's the question. That's how you got to ask it. And in no circumstance am I okay for Olave or Wilson with that world coming to fruition. Because, yes, Chris Jones and Travis Kelce eventually come off the books. Patrick Mahomes doesn't come off the books. He keeps existing and being expensive, and I know the cap is fake. People will tell me you can manipulate his money, but he's still going to get his money. And Karlaftis plays a premium position, and so does Trent McDuffie. Both of them, if not one of them, are going to get super paid, and now you're adding an expensive wide receiver to the mix? No thanks. I'm out. I'm out on that game. No, I think the Chiefs need to add a wideout. It's not a first and a third type of guy. Nope.
Text line 913-586-7965. CDOT, trading a first and a third and giving a big contract would be brain dead, even with the three-peat on the line. I would like to point out, what he suggested is what they did to go get Frank Clark. I mean, there is a history of doing this. When they needed something, and they desperately needed something on defense, they could have drafted that player. They chose not to draft that player. They traded for him and gave him a massive contract. Now, that is on the defensive side and not the offensive side. And you were thinking, if you play on the same side as Patrick Mahomes, you can make the best out of that situation. And I understand the logic for desperate times and desperate measures. I would not make either one of these trades. I've told you guys what I would go do. If Brett Veach called me right now and said, Carrington, I love your show. Thank you, by the way. What do you think I should do? I would tell him, trade a third round pick for Deontay Johnson. I think he has a good rest of the season in Kansas City. I think to re-sign him, you're not going to have to pay him big time dollars. Certainly not based on what other guys, I would say, in his price range are getting. Like, Rob, I'm looking at wide receiver contracts. Do you think he's in the Chris Godwin kind of Brandon Cooks category of wide receiver, Deontay Johnson? That's fair. Well, you know what Brandon Cooks got? 2 years, $40 million. So that's a slight raise from what Deontay Johnson's making right now. He's on a two-year, $36.7 million deal. Maybe you give a Mike Evans contract, two for $41 million. Maybe there's a team out there that wants to pay Deontay Johnson big money. I don't really know why you would do that, just given how deep that position is and how many great wide receivers we think are coming into the league this year. So I wouldn't necessarily break the bank for Deontay Johnson, but I would trade a third-round pick. I would trade a fourth-round pick and make it conditional, kind of similar to the trade that we saw for Davante Adams. Davante Adams got traded for a third-round pick that can be a second-round pick if certain conditions are met. Why can't the Chiefs do the exact same thing to go get a 28-year-old? Excuse me, Deontay Johnson is 25 years old. To go get one of those kind of players that you think makes a lot of sense for your organization and makes a lot of sense for your team. So that's what I would do if I'm the Chiefs. He is now my number one on the checklist. You guys know I wanted Amari Cooper. They didn't go get Amari Cooper. We now have to figure out what another solution is. Go trade for Deontay Johnson. This seems really easy. Don't overthink it. He's on Carolina. He's cost effective. You got the salary cap to take on his contract for the rest of the season, and I think he fits a need for you not just this year, but next year as well. That's where my energy would be directed towards. Not Cooper Kupp, who is 31 years old and broken down. I'm not super interested in trading for DeMarcus Robinson for the sole reason of he used to play for the Chiefs. No, go get a player that you think can win one-on-one battles on the outside. Go get a player that you think has a relatively high ceiling, and I think we know who that player is. Let's go to the phone lines and hear what you guys think about this. 913-586-7965. Josh is in the OP. Hey, Josh, how you doing, my man?
Hey, pretty good, C-Dot. I just want to kind of talk about what Rob was just talking about. So he said he wasn't really down to go grab a Chris Olave type or type because that's going to require, you know, a first, maybe a third, maybe some, you know, a little bit more change than that. But then in turn, that's going to maybe, you know, cost us Carl Loftus or Trent McDuffie in the future. I see that Rob's looking at the full picture, but I think he's not accounting for what we're our situation, what we're in right now is. It's been hammered in all of us over, you know, the past couple of months. We have a chance to make history. I'm sure you've heard it, you know, a million times. I'm sure Rob's heard it a million times. We have a chance to do something that no one's ever done before. So you're telling me that you wouldn't want to go out and get a number one receiver. I'm not saying Olave is, you know, a top-tier elite. I'm not saying Garrett Wilson is top-tier elite, but they're definitely going to move the needle and make our offense a lot better. They're going to get open. That's going to be able to, you know, throw it to somebody that he trusts because those guys are going to be open. They're amazing route runners. They're going to catch the ball. Why would you not want that when it's going to help you do something that's right in front of you? No one's ever done before. Three-peat. You go down in the history books. You become legendary. You literally become legendary if you pull off this three-peat. Why would Rob not want to do something that's going to give us a chance this year, and we're going to be able to have him, you know, following years? And we know Mahomes, he's elite. We're going to be competitive no matter what. If you don't get a re-sign Trent McDuffie or Carl Loftus, okay, that hurts, but we're going to be competitive and we're going to be in the playoffs every year. It's just how we roll with Mahomes. So why would he not sacrifice, you know, Carl Loftus or McDuffie? I don't want to sacrifice it, but knowing that if we can get one of these receivers that's going to put us, you know, not necessarily over the top, but give us a much better chance. I'm tired of rolling with what we have. I'm like, oh, we'll just let Mahomes hopefully make it work. We'll just see what happens with our receivers. We've done it in the past. Let's just risk it. He can make it work. I don't want that. I don't want to risk something like that when you have a chance to do something that will go down in the history books. Pat Mahomes will have his – it will be cemented. He'll be above Brady. Right now it's still the conversation who's better. If he three-peats, no question. Boom. It's Mahomes. He has all the accolades. He's done something that no one's ever done before. Rob, I think you're making a big mistake not wanting to sacrifice something in the future when we're always going to be competitive, man. We're always going to be going for the playoffs. So who cares if you're going all in right now? That's what good GMs do. They go, they see an opportunity. They're like, hey, screw it. Let's go. Screw the picks. F them picks. Let's go for it now. So, again, I'm on board for getting a Garrett Wilson or, you know, somebody that's, you know, Olave, somebody like that, even though they're going to cost a lot. We have a chance to do something right now. We got to do it. This is our chance.
I got you, Josh. I appreciate the phone call, man. I will say this. The thing I disagree with, if you're telling me in this scenario, and I know we're talking about a hypothetical here, if you were telling me that the option is Chris Olave or Trent McDuffie, I'm not making that trade. I'm also not trading it. I'm also not making the trade. If you were telling me that they signed Garrett Wilson long-term and they signed George Karlaftis long-term, that's not a trade that I am making. I think both of those players are better than he is. And I just think more valuable players than they are. This is what I've been saying this entire time. To me, you can improve the Chiefs without making the ultimate sacrifice.
You took the words out of my mouth.
There is a way to do both. Like, there is a way to get Patrick Mahomes the health that I think we all agree that he needs. And there is a way to do that without trading a first and a third round pick. The Deontay Johnson answer is just, it is screaming. It is right there in front of us. I don't know why everybody is just not on board with going to get Deontay Johnson. He is under 30 years old. He is making less than $20 million. It's just, and you don't have to give up a first or a second round pick for him. That's a great option for the Chiefs. Someone on the text line 913-586-7965. CDOT, why were you all about going to get Amari Cooper and you're not in the same boat, at least when it comes to Cooper Kupp? Because in 2024, Amari Cooper is better than Cooper Kupp is. I mean, this season, it's not close. Cooper Kupp is not playing right now in the National Football League. He is not playing. Last year, Amari Cooper played in 15 games last year. Cooper Kupp played in 12 games last year. Amari Cooper in 2022 played in 17 games, and Cooper Kupp played in 9 games. So, yes, Amari Cooper has not been the ideal model of health, but over the course of the last 6 years, he has played in at least 16 games. The last time that Amari Cooper played in less than 16 games was in 2018. The last time that Cooper Kupp played less than that amount of games was in 2022. So their health to me is not the same of what kind of player that they are. If you're telling me that you think Cooper Kupp has the higher ceiling of what he can be, sure. He hasn't hit that ceiling in 3 NFL seasons. I don't know what good Cooper Kupp looks like anymore. I'm not even sure if that player exists anymore. So, yeah, if Cooper Kupp was available for a 6th-round pick and you're telling me that the Rams are willing to eat a large majority of the contract, yeah, that would change my opinion on whether the Chiefs should go get Cooper Kupp or not. Yeah, sure, roll the dice in that scenario. Or if Cooper Kupp was outright released, I don't think he will be. If he was outright released and you're telling me now go pick Cooper Kupp up, get him on a veteran minimum deal, and it's a low-risk, high-reward kind of move, then sure. That's not what Cooper Kupp is. The Rams want a 2nd-round pick for a guy who is currently hurt. Tell me how many guys right now in the league would you trade a 2nd-round pick for who are currently hurt? I don't know if you would get a 2nd-round pick for Rice right now, who is going to be out for the rest of the year. So tell me who in the league right now, a skill position player that you think is worth a 2nd-round pick who is currently hurt. Because there are not that many of those guys that exist. And if they are available, there's usually a reason why that team and that player is available and his current team is willing to eat a significant amount of money to get him off the team. There's usually a reason why.
I mean, we are 100% lockstep, which is odd because usually when it comes to trading picks for players, me and you don't see eye to eye. But on this one, we rep the same team. We're on the same smart
tech. No, we're on the same page. John,
because if what happened to OBJ, remember the year he signed with the Rams, and there were all those rumors the Chiefs were interested. The Browns just outright cut him. They said, screw it, we're done with OBJ. If that happened to Cooper Kupp, I'd be open to Cooper Kupp. Get him in here. But a 2nd-round pick in 2024? No. Hard pass. You know what? I don't think the Chiefs would do that either. We've talked about this. I feel like I keep saying this when it comes to wideout, and it keeps being brought up. Brett Veach is an ageist when it comes to adding players. If you have a 3 in front of your name, he's not giving up premium assets or premium money for you. I'm sorry. Unless your name is Patrick Mahomes, Travis Kelce, or Chris Jones, who are all in-house options. So a second round pick for 30-plus-year-old Cooper Kupp, who might be walking around the facility right now in a walker. We don't even know what his health is a hard pass. And we haven't even gotten to the point yet where in Diana Rossini's cut, you know what she says? Even if the Rams ate a lot of the salary, I don't know the Chiefs could afford it. So, yeah.
I don't. That part to me, I'm not buying that. I hear what you're saying.
To an extent, I mean, how many players renegotiate midseason? It is pretty rare.
I mean, you can always do something with Patrick Mahomes' contract. Like, to me, the salary, and she also said they couldn't get Amari Cooper because of his contract. So I'm just saying is, if the Chiefs really, there is no wide receiver that is within reason right? There's no wide receiver within reason that they could not figure out something to do between now and the end of the season. And then you take a breath, you reset, and then you kind of figure out the money situation from them. Now, there's a large group of receivers that you wouldn't have to do all that mental gymnastics for. You wouldn't have had to do that for Amari Cooper. You made the decision to pass on him. You probably also don't need to do that to go acquire Deontay Johnson. You wouldn't have to do that to go get Darius Slayton. You wouldn't have to do that to go get DeMarcus Robinson. There are guys that could improve the depth that they have at wide receiver, and you also don't need to give up a whole lot to do it. I'm not here advocating they trade their first round pick or their second round pick to acquire any of these guys. I would just use my first and second round pick next year and go get a guy who can turn into Chris Olave. They're making them every year in the draft. It is not like Chris Olave is some super special player that is not available in every single NFL draft. He is. I promise you he is available. Go find Chris Olave. They've never tried to draft Chris Olave. They had a chance last year. They got a 5'10", 160-pound speed wide receiver. Go find Chris Olave. I assure you he is in this draft class.
First off, king of the Jameson Williams fan club cannot make fun of Xavier Worthy's height, weight, and speed. That's I just want
Jameson
to get that
Williams
on.
Balling. I just want to go ahead and point that out right now. Jameson Williams is you know who would really help this team right now? Jameson Williams would be really good on this.
To be
team.
Fair, Jameson Williams just got popped for PEDs. So no, there's a reason why he's balling.
There's always something with him. He's always in the middle of something. I don't know if it's parlays or PEDs. It's usually something with him.
But circling back to the caller's point about chasing history. Me and the Cards aren't going to see eye to eye on hemorrhaging the future for the now, and that's fine. But he said great GMs in the NFL say screw them picks and go all in. Do you want to know some GMs that have done that? The Rams did it. How do the Rams feel right now about their situation? They said screw them picks. We're all in. We're paying Matt Stafford. We're paying Cooper Kupp. We're paying Aaron Donald. You get paid. You get paid. You get paid. They're one of the worst teams in the league right now. The New Orleans Saints have historically said, screw them picks, we all in. They might have the worst cap situation in the NFL. So me and the caller are just going to not see eye to eye on hemorrhaging the future for the now, and that's fine. I am still team add a wideout. I'm just not team give up a first and a second to get a guy because guess what? In the future, they still play football games. And the caller, Josh, if you're all in on the now, that's cool. You can't complain about the Chiefs in 2 years if they're just mid. If they are what Brady's middle years were in New England. Hey, some 10 and 6 years. You can't complain about that if you're all in. I don't want middle 10 and 6 years. I want greatness every year. So I'm not hemorrhaging the future for the now. That's just, we don't see eye to eye on that.
And I know we're having fun with hypothetical trades and whatnot. I don't know if, there is a wide receiver that will be traded between now and then. I don't think there is a wide receiver that will be traded that will go more than for what Amari Cooper and Davante Adams got. Like, I would just be really surprised if in the middle of the season there's a wide receiver that gets traded for a first-round pick. I don't think that Chris Olave is being traded. I also don't think that Garrett Wilson is being traded.
By the way, not breaking news on alert. Cornell Powell is up from the practice squad. So do they need to add anyone anymore?
No, they need bodies. No, they need bodies.
That's a former draft pick. Success story.
Someone on the text line says, C-Dot, I understand you guys need talking points, but it's very evident that the current administration is happy with what they have. I do not believe that. If I didn't think the Chiefs weren't trading for a wide receiver, we just would not be talking about it. I think the Chiefs are making a move. They just don't have a lot of pieces left in the room. Like, we don't have to go through the depth chart again, but they just don't have a lot of options. And there's still 2 weeks until the deadline. Now, when we get past the deadline and they don't make a move, I am willing to come on here and say, man, I was wrong. And they are happy with what they have. I believe the Chiefs are making a move at some point in the next 2 weeks. Too many people who are connected in the National Football League are talking about it for me to think that the Chiefs have not been phoning around making phone calls. And I will continue to believe they have those two third-round picks. I do not believe they are going to have both of them pass the election. One of those third-round picks is getting traded. Or maybe they keep both of them and they give up a fifth-round pick or it's a conditional pick. I firmly believe that the Chiefs are making a trade for a wide receiver. They just don't have a lot of bodies. And if you're telling me that they're happy with what they have right now, number one, when is Juju coming back? Because he once again is dealing with the hamstring injury. That has been a hamstring injury that he has been dealing with for the last 4 years in the National Football League. I'm not sure if Hollywood Brown is coming back. We know that Rashee Rice is coming back, and this is the wide receiver unit that you're expecting to hold up. It is Halloween, and you're expecting that thing to hold up almost until Valentine's Day? I just don't know how you can feel confident given the fact that it feels like every single week they have a new wide receiver injury that pops up. They need to make a trade just to get the numbers and get through the attrition of just a long, grueling NFL season. They have one stretch later in the year where they play 3 games in 10 days. They don't have the wide receiver unit to get through all of these games that they have between now and the end of the season. Patrick Mahomes coming up in 30 minutes. It's The Drive.
The Drive with Carrington Harrison on your new home for Royals baseball. 96.5 The Fan. Brought to you by DM Injury Law. Have you or a loved one been in a car wreck? Contact DM Injury Law today and get the money you deserve. Car wreck? Remember, Mike's got this.
Welcome back into The Drive on 96.5 The Fan. Coming up in about 30 minutes, we'll be joined by Patrick Mahomes. I got a chance to catch up with him earlier in the day. I don't know why we're doing this thing all over again. Now, I watch Monday Night Football. I imagine that many of you also watched Monday Night Football yesterday. The real one, not the fake one. That was on ESPN+. I didn't watch too much of that, but we're doing this thing all over again with the Ravens. You know what we're doing. Here's Mike Greenberg.
I'm sorry, I can't hear you guys. All that making fun of me you did when I said he's the MVP of the league. And oh, no, everyone yelled at me. He's not even the MVP on his own team. Derrick Henry is the difference. You watch that team with him, they are markedly different. Lamar is brilliant. He's been brilliant a long time. This team is markedly different because of that.
You remember? Hold on, hold on. You remember?
So Lamar's not the MVP of his team just because he's been good for a long time?
No, he threw five touchdown passes.
Henry, I want to focus on.
In the same way that Randy Moss was the difference when he came to New England, Tom Brady was already a great quarterback.
Yeah.
But that elevated everything, basically to the point of being unstoppable.
Yes.
And that's what this guy has done. If this guy is healthy, nobody beats the Ravens.
I understand picking the Ravens. I do. I know you guys might be mad at me for saying this, but everybody doesn't have to think the Chiefs are going to win the Super Bowl. Like, you're allowed to pick another team to win the Super Bowl. That's part of sports. Rob and I might not both think the Celtics are winning the championship again, or, you know, that Georgia's going to win the national championship in football. You're allowed to make different picks, but did he say that if Derrick Henry is healthy, there's nobody beating the Ravens? That they've lost this season. What is he talking about?
When healthy, mind you.
Are they undefeated? Am I missing something? I know for a fact I've seen them lose this season. They've lost twice when he's healthy. One of those games they lost to the Raiders at home. They lost to the Raiders. You're telling me you can't see a scenario in which Baltimore loses to any other team in the NFL? They're just, why are we doing this to the Ravens? We do this every single year. I like the Ravens. I really do. The Ravens have been really impressive. They were impressive last night. I mean, this has been a great stretch for the Ravens. They went on the road and beat the Cowboys. They beat Buffalo. I mean, they pounded Buffalo earlier this year. They beat everybody's new favorite, the Washington Commanders, certainly a favorite on this show. And they went on the road and beat Tampa Bay. The Ravens are playing well. If you want to say they're the biggest contender to the Chiefs, sure, have at it. If you want to say that this is Lamar Jackson's year and he's finally going to break through, sure, that's a fine take to have. Why do we always got to take it one step too far? You got that friend that just always takes the joke a little more. Like, bro, we all was kind of laughing and joking. You took it to a creepy place. They didn't have to go to. You didn't have to take the joke that far. You didn't have to make it where the needle skipped when you made the joke. No one's beating the Ravens with a healthy Derrick. They lost 26-23 to the Raiders earlier this year. They lost to the Chiefs. What are we talking about? I just don't know why we got to do this same thing. I don't know why we have to do this every single year. I don't know why we have to do this with the Ravens. They're a fun team. They're a talented team. I look outside. There's still leaves on the trees. I don't want to hear you talk to me about any of these other teams as long as I see green foliage outside. Don't talk to me about Buffalo if I can see leaves outside. Don't talk to me about Baltimore when I can see foliage. Please stop discussing these teams with me, because we've been at this place before. Maybe this is just fatigue. We did this in the Big 12 for the longest time. We did this in the Big 12. I hate to say it, but you guys remember when KU was winning the league, you know, back when they were the only basketball school in the league. Now they've added other basketball schools, and shockingly, KU can't win the league anymore. But back when they were the only one and they were beating up on Iowa State and Baylor and all these other Rudy Poo teams, we would try to find other teams to make the season more enjoyable.
Wasn't your team one of those teams?
A Rudy Poo team. My point exactly. A Rudy Poo team. Now you got Arizona and you got all these other teams in the league, and they not winning the league anymore. That's not a shock to me. They got Arizona and Houston, and them boys is losing home and away now. I'm not surprised. Been telling you guys that for 30 years that the Big 12 was weak. That's what we're doing now in the AFC. It's weak. Stop talking to me about these other teams. I don't want to hear it anymore. And I hate to have this stance toward the Ravens, because I like the Ravens. They're fun. They're a good team. You can't see a scenario in which they lose. They just lost a month ago. That's all I got on the Ravens. I don't have anything else.
I don't understand why we do this. Like, it's fine to come on, get up the next day, Mike Greenberg, and say, Lamar Jackson looked awesome. He's probably now the favorite for MVP. That's his third. That would be his third. Excuse me. That's really impressive. They've had a lot of impressive wins this year.
I don't even care who wins MVP anymore. I don't even care.
You don't care at all?
I don't care who wins MVP anymore. I don't. What does it matter?
It matters significantly.
You know what it is? You know I love a good NBA comparison. This is you giving the MVP award to Derrick Rose. Great. Cool. That's fun. I saw them lose to the Cavs that year in the NBA playoffs. This is giving the award to Karl Malone. Great, cool. I saw Jordan crush his dreams in Salt Lake City. I don't care. Give Lamar Jackson 8 of these MVP awards. Give Josh Allen his first. Give it to CJ Stroud. Who cares who wins these individual awards anymore? They give out the ultimate award, Super Bowl MVP. They hand it out in February. I know Lamar Jackson wouldn't know anything about it, because you have to make the Super Bowl to qualify for it. So talk to me about these teams in January. We literally went from 4 months ago, where Lamar is questionable in the postseason. Now, the Ravens, if they got everybody healthy, they're unbeatable in the postseason, even though we've seen Lamar Jackson when it gets cold outside and he completes 42% of his passes. I don't care. Give it to whoever you want to give it to. Give it to Jared Goff. Give it to Lamar. Give it to CJ Stroud. Give it to any of those individuals. We can resume this conversation in January when the real stakes are on the line. Don't talk to me about how you played on a sunshiny day against the Washington Commanders on October 5th. No one cares. Talk to me about how you play in January after Santa has packed up for the winter. That's when we can determine who the best teams are in the National Football League. Until then, I don't want to hear a peep from any of these other teams. I don't even want to hear you suggest any of these other teams. It's blasphemous to Patrick Mahomes, Andy Reid, and it's blasphemous to this great city. Coming up in 20 minutes, we'll talk to Patrick Mahomes. Coming up at the top of the hour, I do want to talk about Tua for just a little bit, because there is one part of this conversation that no one just wants to out loud say. I'll attempt to say it. Keep it right here, Sadrev.